Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Sometimes in life, an opportunity comes up to combine your passions and turn them into a business. No doubt, this is a dream many have and would like to pursue, but very few do. This week on Make It Right, one of my guests has done just that, bringing together his loves of beer brewing and chemistry to create a hops and hemp-based organic skincare business. Dr. Chet Boxley is a chemist and a certified natural and organic skincare formulator. His partner is Chris Rebsamen, a marketing and business development guru, who was my guest on episode 65 and 66 of the Make It Right podcast in the summertime. And that's how I found out about Batch 21, a natural and organic skincare line for men that's based in beautiful Park City, Utah. So I'm pleased to have both Chet and Chris with me on the show today. So welcome to the show, you guys, and thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
My pleasure. So, Chet, you're a chemist turned entrepreneur. Quickly explain how you took this path and got to Batch 21.
Oh, a quick circuitous path we took. I was a chemist. After finishing my PhD, I went on to work for a small ceramics company where I caught the entrepreneurial bug and just had a lucky enough opportunity to join a green chemicals manufacturing company that was focusing on developing really interesting materials for the cosmetics and personal care space. And suddenly I found myself being thrust into becoming a cosmetic chemist, whether I wanted to or not.
So what was this?
Here we are.
So what was this aha moment that told you that the pairing of hops and hemp to create skincare products was a match made in heaven?
Well, so we actually started looking at hops from because it's from the brewing industry. Back before refrigeration, it was well known that hops were added as a natural preservative for the beer. So we started looking at hops for inclusion in skincare from that lens, that perspective of being like, could this be a really interesting and novel preservative in our products that we were going to create? And then when we started diving into the science behind hop, the essential oil that's extracted from the hops, turns out it's way more than just a really interesting antibacterial. There's a lot of nice antioxidant, anti-inflammatory behavior that this ingredient provides. And so it was sort of from there, it was like, oh my God, this is way more than just a preservative, and it's way more than just a really interesting additive. There's a lot of fun and interesting science behind its effects on the skin. So that was it for the hop oil. And then as the hemp, we needed something that was going to be a unique oil that was going to help carry that hop to, lower dermal layers of the skin that can actually have a nice skin penetration. And so hemp being an oil that's got a fatty acid profile that looks very much like what oil production of the skin is naturally, they match really well. And so your skin sort of, for lack of a better term, sort of used to this type of oil. And so it absorbs really well and therefore can carry the hops into the skin and really help, provide those beneficial attributes that we wanted the hops to be there for.
Okay. So you went through all this chemistry and understanding all of this. When did you actually say, okay, I'm going to make some products and I'm going to start selling them?
When Chris told me that I should do that.
Woohoo!
It was one of those moments where we've been doing this in the lab for, quite some time, just doing research and learning and being a part of, the whole process of developing the skin. And it was just through probably multiple conversations with Chris where he was encouraging me to really put forth this into more than just a concept and actually develop the product and put it together. So it was through a lot of more prodding than he would have liked. But
yeah. So Chris, what was it that you saw in during those conversations that you went, yeah, this thing can work?
It was kind of first to market the concept of putting hops and hemp in the same formulation and then really understanding what hops can do for the skin. It was just kind of seemed to be kind of a natural fit because in today's market, as we've talked about before, innovation. And I just thought it was a very innovative idea, concept. And again, no one has tapped into it based on my research.
So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I really love the simplicity of the product line that you offer and the fact that you're actually targeting a male market with this product. So did the chemistry dictate that? Was it the fact that you figured hemp and hop are going to appeal to a male audience? Like, what's the idea behind all that?
That's an interesting question, because it's when we started off with this, there was sort of this, the hops in the hemp, for certain, the hops are clearly, you know, something that we felt like would resonate with a male audience. But when we created the products, we felt like they were skincare for humans rather than, you know, non-gender specific type of products. But I guess as you start to develop the packaging and the brand and the look and the feel and the website that goes along with it, and all that sort of marketing package that goes around it, when you let two men do it with who have a lens on that, whether intentional or not, what ended up happening or what ended up being produced is, I guess, somewhat of a more male-leaning product, even though it wasn't designed that way. From a chemistry perspective, so what's in the bottle isn't necessarily a male specific product, but apparently we've been told the packaging would lead you to believe otherwise.
So Chris, you're the marketer behind the product, so what was the thought process behind all of it, the whole look and feel of it?
So there's two points. One point is that I can't take any of the credit for the packaging. Took most of the credit, because when I was in treatment for cancer, Chet actually took the lead and created all this.
Okay.
So my influence on the packaging was very limited. I think it's a very generic packaging style with class, and it can be sold both male and unisex. Because of the hops, I think the relationship of the hops is a tighter fit to male than it is female.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
in some of our data that we've gotten from the market is that it's both male and female user product. And the data that we have from our online purchases is that more females buy it than males. Now, with that being said, the females can certainly buy it for their husbands or boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very strict balance. It's balanced as far as that is concerned. But I don't think it really shows male or female. I think the male market today is larger. It's a growing entity. So that's just my input on it.
Mm-hmm. So whose idea was it to do, because I love this, you've got a subscription model. And I think that that's fantastic, because invariably people start to run out of a product and they don't get online to order and blah, blah, blah. But if you have a subscription model, you know that, you know, whatever X number of weeks, you're going to get your product in the mail and you're going to be good to go. Whose idea was that?
I think it was a kind of a collective. I don't really recall. I think it was just one of the things as we were putting this together, it sort of just made sense, because I think I can only speak for myself, but I'm somewhat lazy when it comes to like remembering my products, you know. So I get, you know, several other personal care products and they're on a subscription basis. So I guess maybe it came from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what kind of challenges did you face getting approvals from, say, retailers, from the FDA? We're talking about a product, it's certified organic and natural, it's going on people's skin. What's all the detail in the background on getting things approved?
So that's an interesting question. So it's even though it is a skincare product that you are putting on your skin and people are using hopefully daily, there is no requirement for an FDA approval for a skincare product that, there are certain restrictions and qualifications to that. So if it's providing some sort of medical benefit, then yes, the product would need to be FDA registered and approved. However, ours is not in that category. And so It doesn't require any FDA registrations. There are some, certainly some safety protocols, and the FTC, so the Federal Trade Commission, is the one who regulates the, sort of the industry, in terms of marketing claims and things like that. So if your claims do get into an area where it appears as though you would become a drug rather than just a normal everyday product, then the FDA can step in and issue warning letters and so forth and so on. So we've intentionally kept out of that area, and that's, it's mostly about your messaging and how you're marketing the product. Mm-hmm. And so you can steer clear of getting in trouble with the FDA if you're careful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we've had some help with that through Chris and some of his contacts and so forth. And, we've had to change a few things along the way. Chris, I'm sure, can tell you war stories with the folks at Whole Foods, who are very strict and regimented in their, what's on the labels and everything like that. So,
it's
a very interesting process.
Yeah, and I guess with Whole Foods, if they approve you for their stores, that says something about your product. So, Chris, do you want to carry us through that story about how you got into Whole Foods?
Yes. So we, it's been, I don't mean to laugh, but it has been an interesting setup process. So Whole Foods, so in the natural market, so if you can get certified by Whole Foods, you pretty much can almost get set up with any retailer because their requirements are so stringent. So to what Chet was saying, it's basically you have to be careful what you can claim on your label. So the labeling has to go through an entire process to make sure the verbiage is correct. Then the verbiage needs to match what's on the label, and they do a website audit. So we've had to make some changes on our website as well. Second to that is then it's an ingredient audit. They go through all the ingredients and components of the product. Now you actually have to have a third party lab test photograph. And photograph all the items, document all the ingredients, and it's kept on file in a vault.
really?
So you're not changing. Yeah, it is. So you're not, and this vault I'm using as just kind of just being a little sarcastic, but it goes into a system just to double check to make sure there's just no changes along the way. So if you happen to change your product and not inform them of it, it causes other problems. But the setup process has been months, and it's been, I get what they're doing. They're getting validation and making sure that we are compliant to their needs and wants to protect their consumer before they put our product on shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand the system. It's just a very long, very laborious, it's just a long process. And we've had some challenges around it. Nothing that we haven't been able to overcome. But it's been a very interesting process and a learning. I think it's been a little bit of a learning experience for both of us. And, it's great. But once we get certified by Whole Foods, we shouldn't have any issues with any other retailer.
Yeah. Like they're a gold standard or something.
pretty much. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
But the uniqueness of the product is I'd reached out to the buying team. And we sent some samples in and followed up a couple of weeks later. And the buyer just, honestly, they tested it out, she passed it around, and they just really liked the uniqueness of the product, its story, its effect, its benefits. And I mean, from a positive effect. So it just all gelled together. They liked the, one of the uniqueness of Batch 21 is the elasticity of the product. You don't need a lot for it to accomplish its goals.
Okay.
So it has a lot of elasticity from a cost perspective. That's kind of, it's been an interesting setup, mm-hmm. but we're excited.
Yes.
We launch in February.
Cool.
So we're excited.
So Valentine's presents for everybody, for all the guys out there. That's the Valentine present that'll come.
There you go. There you go. Exactly.
That's Chris Revsiman and Chet Boxley, the two entrepreneurs behind Batch 21. And they'll join me again next week to talk about how they source their ingredients and manufacture their hops and hemp small batch skincare line and how they're moving their endeavor forward. I hope you'll join us then. The Make It Right podcast is brought to you by Kevin Snook, leadership advisor and author of the best-selling book, Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line. That's our show this week. Follow Make It Right on Twitter and LinkedIn, and subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. I'm Janet Eastman, and until next time, thanks for listening to Make It Right.